All right, we mentioned this the other day, and I've been so fired up to talk about it after we started talking about it. And I really can't believe that it had been a segment before, because, Mike, you cannot fathom. I know this sounds ridiculous, but you cannot fathom what an impact karate, and more in particular, karate movies had on my life. And not only my life, I'm pretty sure Danny's, and I'm pretty sure about half the people that are from the 70s and 80s that grew up around that time.
Mm-hmm.
It was so impactful, and I'm not saying it helped shape my life, but I still talk about it to these days, and it still wows me. And it all started... I wasn't watching the show when it was on because I was too young. But there was a show called Kung Fu.
Yeah.
So were you watching this?
I saw a few episodes of Kung Fu.
Okay, I figured this is not a kid's show. This is an
No, Kung Fu was a pretty big pop culture item.
It was pretty cerebral, too, for kids to be watching.
Oh, yeah.
No, I never watched Kung Fu. I never watched Hong Kong Fooey.
So
I watched it a few times, but it was a little too serious for me.
It was very serious, and I know that you know most people have never heard of it before, but Kung Fu was a show that started in 1972, ended in 1975, had 68 episodes, and it starred David Carradine. David Carradine, maybe people who don't know him from that know him from the Kill Bill movies, the Tarantino movies. He was in both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway... David Carradine played an American who somehow ended up in a Chinese monastery with Shaolin monks, and he learned the ways of these monks, and part of the ways of the monks was Kung Fu.
Yes.
And it was about him as an adult. He was taking up for his master, and this is all in the pilot. He ends up killing a guy that went after his master, and then he had to leave. He had to escape the monastery.
And live a nomadic lifestyle.
And go to America, where he knew he had family. He knew he had a brother named Danny, as a matter of fact.
Thank you.
And so that was his goal. That was what the story was all about. Him roaming America, taking odd jobs here or there, and trying to find his family.
Right.
And every episode, at the 15-minute mark... And at the 30-minute mark, or wait, these were hour-long shows. So maybe at the 30-minute...
Yeah, Kung Fu was long.
Maybe at the 30-minute mark, and near the end, there were fights. Because even though this guy was the most peaceful human being on the planet, he always found himself in fights. In Kung Fu fights with drunken cowboys.
With big sticks and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, chains.
Mm-hmm.
Anything and everything. And... I'll hand it to Kung Fu because they were ahead of their time. And I, like I said, this must have gone into syndication right after 1975. Because I remember watching it as like an 8-9-year-old.
I think it did. I think it went into syndication very quickly because it's still popular, but not popular enough to continue. I think the stringing kind of run out.
Yeah,
I remember watching it when it was live in prime time with my dad.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, five or six, but it was on. I remember it being on and watching it, and I was a little confused by it. It was a little heady for a kindergartner.
And it was all set in the Old West.
But I did like fighting.
Yeah, and that's what...
Had it not been for karate, I would have never met Elvis, you know, because my dad was way into martial arts. He was like a second-degree black belt and had me taking karate at a young age, and I passed and got my yellow belt, which is nothing. But, you know, for a first grader, I thought it was, you know, I was into it.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Maybe we should have some of these skills demonstrated at ticket stock.
Interesting, Danny.
Good Lord. No.
Interesting. So anyway, I started watching this as an 8-9-year-old, and I was just floored by how cool the fight scenes were and how powerful David Carradine's character was. And I was like, man, I want to be like that guy. That guy's cool. You know, and then you go through phases, and then I want to be Barry Gibb, and, you know, different guys come along.
Set the bar pretty high.
But anyway, that was the template for before.
One of these days, I want to get into the story of the process you went through to try to become Barry Gibb.
Well, I never tried. I just wanted it to be that way.
He just stared at the Saturday Night Fever album cover for hours on end.
But you never took any kind of active steps toward this?
Or... I was nine. What am I going to do?
I don't know.
Start having sex with women?
Glue hair to his chest?
Yeah, get a nice satin shirt or something.
No! No! So that set the stage, and little did I know that it set the stage for the man that would completely shaped the 1980s for me, Bruce Lee. And I don't know what the first movie was that me and my friends, when we were 12 or 13, watched of Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee
is this guy
dead.
Chinese?
He'd been dead for 7 or 8 years by that point, because he died in 1975. Matter of fact, he was supposed to be the star of Kung Fu.
Yeah.
And then they went with an American guy because they didn't think that a Chinese guy could sell. And so, anyway, when Bruce Lee came along and I think we saw Enter the Dragon first, which is his seminal movie.
That was after Fists of Fury.
Yeah, he made a bunch of low-budget movies, but I think the one that they put the most money into was Enter the Dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I remember seeing that movie and thinking, there's no human being that is tougher than
Bruce Lee.
Yeah. And to this day, I'll make the argument that no one can beat up Bruce Lee. I didn't think anybody could...
I was going to say, is there?
Well, I don't know. I didn't think anybody could beat up David Carradine. Like, he's the toughest guy ever. Then you threw in Bruce Lee, and then someone was like, dude, bro, you know who Chuck Norris is? And then when I learned about Chuck Norris...
Chuck.
And...
Walker, Texas, ready.
And then you start putting the pieces together, and they're like, dude, bro, you know that Chuck Norris and Bruce Lee fought each other in a movie.
Were they in Game of Death?
No, Game of Death was the one with Kareem.
That's right.
And it took me about 1 second to get my dad to drive me to Blockbuster to go find the Chuck Norris Bruce Lee movie so I could see them fight and to finally see... who was tougher?
Okay, now you're how old at this time?
12 or 13. Again, okay. I don't, in my head, I'm thinking, this is real. They're really fighting each other. Not that every single step was completely choreographed.
That was Way of the Dragon.
Way of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Okay.
With those
yeah.
two.
Yeah, where they fought in the end, and it was a great fight scene. And, of course, Bruce Lee vanquished him at the end. Because it's a Bruce Lee movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then...
he's got to win.
Nobody could convince me. People would be like, Chuck Norris would kill him. They've already fought, bro. Game's over. He beat his ass. You know? And we would do like in Step Brothers. You want to go do karate in the garage?
Yep.
And we would go out in the yard. We
oh
would go
God.
To the garage. We're in the driveway doing... I don't know karate. I don't know anything about it. Yet I'm out there.
So what were you doing? Just wrestling, or
no? You're throwing fake punches and pretending like you're kicking each other's ass. And every time you'd throw a punch, the guy's head would snap back, and you'd go.
Yeah, you'd make the noise because that's
right?
the other thing about these kung fu karate movies. When you hit something, it
makes
noise,
the same sound no matter what.
Yeah, no matter how flush it is, it's that.
That.
Imagine one punch sounding like that. One! In a karate movie, there's a million of them. And they're all so awesome. And Bruce Lee, you know, the way that he would fight, the way that he would bounce around, and he would mix up his style, and he would make the
great
like,
facial expressions.
And those, mm-hmm. you know, like bouncing. And I'm just like, he's the guy, he is the king. Nothing can touch Bruce Lee. And I know that... Were you a Chuck Norris guy?
Me or Mike?
You.
Me. Yes, I was a Chuck Norris guy. You want me to go to my bit here?
Yeah.
Okay. I remember... I can't remember when this movie came out. I think it was 78.
1978.
So this would have made me about 10 years old, which is prime karate
yeah.
interest, you know, the age of karate interest. And I saw this trailer, and it was rated R, I believe, and I knew that I wasn't ever going to be able to see it. But I begged my dad to take me to it, and he wouldn't do it. And what I'm talking about is Good Guys Wear Black.
You're damn right.
And first of all, I'm going to play you this trailer. This trailer is a minute and 30-some-odd seconds long. And you tell me, when the first time you saw this trailer, that you weren't excited based on the list of items that I'm going to go down that that are included in this trailer. First of all, the voiceover guy sounds like he gargled razor blades and smoked a pack of Camels before every session. And it's awesome. Second of all, Chuck Norris's character is named John T. Booker.
Awesome name.
There's hot girls in the trailer that he's talking to. There's one scene where he's racing a stock car on a track. And then the next clip is him setting a timer on a bomb that's inside of a trunk. There's scenes from Vietnam. There's downhill skiing where he's avoiding gunfire. There's snowmobiling. And then he kicks five guys' asses. Then they're all wearing suits in a parking lot with karate. And then he kicks three guys' asses. They all have guns, and he immobilizes them with a stick. Then there's a gratuitous helicopter shot, and then the apex of the trailer is a car driving at Chuck Norris, and he's running at the car and dive kicks through the windshield, breaking the windshield and killing the driver of the car.
And I'm telling you, that really happened.
And then the end of the trailer is, for whatever reason, a limousine flying off of a cliff into the ocean. Here's the trailer.
Which had nothing to do with anything else.
And now, from Guerrilla Pictures.
Stop it. America. Bob, first of all, it's brought to you by Guerrilla Pictures.
In cinema releasing, a special movie presentation. Chuck Norris is John T. Booker. Good guys wear black.
Who did you talk to at that cocktail party in Washington?
Please don't ask. I'm almost certain I'll lie.
In the hospital, I told myself the war was over. I lived through it and I put it behind.
Well, it's about to be reopened.
Scenes from Vietnam.
Good guys wear black.
Downhill skiing.
He once was their spy. Now he must die.
Snowmobiling.
There's a contract out on me.
Kicks five guys' asses in the parking lot.
I'm not the enemy, John. I told you that last night.
Meaning he banged her. Beats up three guys with guns. Helicopter. Flying kick through windshield.
We were set up.
Murder, Mr. Booker.
Limousine set flying up into the ocean.
This is my kind of jungle. And it was expedient to get rid of the Black Tigers.
Oh, and he was a member of the Black Tigers.
I'm not going to let it happen. Stop the damn car!
Once, he was their spy. Now, it's kill or die. Good guys wear black.
Yes!
Dude,
yes!
Can you... My head exploded! A 10-year-old. My head exploded.
A lot of stuff, man. That is a lot of stuff.
It's so kick-ass.
Oh, it's amazing.
And I'm telling you, man... They were all that way, and the acting is so bad. Like, this is why we even got into this the other day, because at midnight, the other night after the World Series game, I'm just sitting there fumbling around, and I stumble on Lone Wolf McQuade, the worst movie ever. But I remember watching it as a 14-year-old going, man, Chuck Norris is the good guy, and David Carradine is the bad guy. Finally, now we're going to know who's tougher. And I really thought it was real. Like, I'm going to find out once and for all if Chuck Norris can take down Kung Fu.
Listen to this original synopsis. Tell me if this hasn't been played out in every Rambo-type slash karate movie ever. Former soldier John T. Booker, who is now a school teacher, takes a leave of absence when he learns his friends from Vietnam are mysteriously dying. A former vet, always. Booker, who was part of an elite unit in the war called the Black Tigers, kick-ass, starts visiting his army buddies to try and warn them that they're in danger. As more Black Tigers are killed, Booker connects the murder spree to a high-ranking Vietnamese official who's working with a U.S. politician.
God, there's so much to unpack.
There is. And then you got to mix in snowmobiles and downhill skiing.
In Enter the Dragon, Bruce Lee... He was in a secret, but the Americans hired him to go undercover at this, I don't know, some sort of karate training facility.
Mm-hmm.
And he beat up at least 300 people at once.
Yeah. And there's the people that are trying to fight Karate Guy, their strategy is so Revolutionary War. You know, they just kind of wait around until
one at
six
a time.
Guys get their asses kicked. And then you think all 300 could probably take him.
Yeah.
Let's you know, get a little solidarity here, guys.
Oh, God.
What a great time to be alive, though.
It was awesome. Karate is so kick-ass, and I still love it. You know why? Because I can't do it, and it's just another...
When was the last time you tried?
When I was 12. It's just another way to beat
maybe
ass.
You ought to give it a try
no,
now.
I'm too old. I'm too old to do karate. It's just great, though. Oh, my God, we're
late. Lord, we're late.
See what you did?
Yeah.
No. See what you
did? No. Karate did it.
All right, blame karate. Friday Fun next.
All right, so we don't have a lot of time here for Friday Fun, but I figure we could follow up on the karate theme of the last segment.
Yeah, there's a guy that just tweeted a picture of Chuck Norris endorsing some type of pant called Chuck Norris Action Jeans
Pants.
And the guy tweeted, oh, it's Mr. Vomit. Hi, Mr. Vomit. He says, "Bad Corby Davidson can't do karate because he doesn't own official Chuck Norris endorsed action jeans.
Jeans?
Get with the program, snake." And it's him doing a karate kick over his head in slacks. And the tagline is, "Chuck Norris action jeans. They won't bind your legs." The karate culture is amazing.
Well, think about it. I mean, think about how much money Chuck Norris has been able to make. I mean, even with Walker, Texas Ranger, there always was a karate fight. Like, he's sitting there in starched shirt and starched jeans
and
a cowboy hat. And he lives in Dallas, and he's fighting criminals, but he would use karate. Why didn't they just shoot these people?
Like, no, he was a more humane law enforcement official.
Besides, anybody can shoot people.
Now, I mean, why didn't the bad guy shoot Chuck Norris?
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't they shoot Bruce Lee?
Then they got no story.
Yeah, I guess not. But it was so great. So in the original Kung Fu, and this is what always threw me off. Hand me the audio cord over there. From the first time that I saw this show, you know, you watch it, and it stars David Carradine. And, you know, rumor has it Bruce Lee was the guy that pitched this show, but the network turned him down because they didn't think in 1972 that an Asian could be the face of a program on one of the networks. They thought that was impossible.
Right.
And so they passed, and they put an American in there, and the bit was that this American somehow gets dumped off at this monastery. And then he travels. Well, long story short, it's an American. David Carradine is American.
But he's cast. His character is Chinese.
No, he's not.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
I thought they wouldn't hire Chinese actors to play that part.
Well, the thing is, though.
Well, he sure seemed to be an American steeped in Chinese culture.
Yeah, well, he was raised there. I think what it was, he had an American dad. This is what the storyline was. He had an American dad and a Chinese mom. All right? But the thing is,
okay.
Yeah.
When you look at him, he's American. There is not one iota of Chinese in David Carradine, who comes from
right.
the famous Carradine acting family. I am?
No, I'm saying you're right. You just don't see it.
Right. Yet every single place he would go in the Old West, the very underrated Old West, he would be called out for being... Someone would look at him, some drunken cowboy would look at him and be like, "Hey, China, come over here." And they would always call him China or Chinese or... And I was always like, "What? Why? He looks nothing...
I thought he did. I thought he looked pretty passable."
They made him up, man. If you look at like headshots or screenshots from him... From that show, they tried to make him up to look
but still,
Asian with the makeup.
Still, it wasn't.
That's only because you knew you had to suspend reality a little
bit, Corby. I know, but this is a classic example of what every single time this pacifist Shaolin monk who didn't drink, didn't smoke, all he wanted to do was do good for people
and walk on coals.
Right,
he loved that.
He wanted to defend people that couldn't defend themselves. He was the sweetest man ever. Quickly. Yet, no matter where he went, he got this.
Now, you know
okay,
I don't.
I'm going to start it over.
Hold on.
Hey, you with a funny hat. Now, you know I don't like any slant eyes in a white man's saloon. Huh? You know, I got a nose for Chinaman.
Okay, he calls him the slant word.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Chinaman.
I got a nose for China. You think this would exist today? I got a nose for Chinaman?
No,
and again,
no, that would not.
And again, he's not Chinese, for God's sakes.
No, I'm not sure
I got
that's
a nose for Chinaman. And you, hey, you smell a little yellow to me.
God! Dude, it's unbelievable. Everywhere he went, everywhere. And then, of course, he's just sitting there trying to drink his water. You know, with some sort of root that he puts in there. Right, and the guy challenges him to a fight.
He no speak of the English? Huh? Well, I don't speak Chinese.
Not Chinese.
Chinese.
I don't speak Chinese.
He probably good at Tetra, too.
Yeah.
Well, I don't speak Chinese. Did I tell you to get out? Get out. Or you want me to help you? Huh? That's unfriendly.
Yeah, who do you think dropped two in 1 second? They were also the first ones to use slow motion, which was, it kind of accentuated the karate. And you know who else did that, Danny?
Who?
3 years later, the $6 Million Man.
Oh, man. Boy, did they ever. Why did slowing things down make it appear that they were going faster?
I don't know. Or appear that it was more kick-ass. Well, anyway, there you go.
I want that job.